This is WFYI News Now. It's December 14th, and I'm Abrianna Heron. Later in the show, Indianapolis saw 18 officer-involved shootings to date. We'll have an interview with IMPD officer Damon Young about how police are trained to use force.
They have to react right now, or they may not be going home.
That's coming up, but first, these headlines. Two-time ABA champion and three-time NBA All-Star George Guinness has died at 73. Guinness was considered one of the best prep players to play in Indiana. He spent two seasons with Indiana Hoosiers, earning third-team All-American honors in the only season he actually played. And he was one of the first underclassmen to play professional basketball, joining the Indiana Pacers in 1971. His trademark one-handed jump shot helped him become an instant cornerstone in Indiana's two title runs, as well as the Philadelphia 76ers' turnaround in the mid-1970s. McGinnis is also a member of Indiana's Athletic Hall of Fame. A picture of how Republican candidates for governor are each trying to define themselves emerged yesterday during a panel discussion at an annual legislative conference. Brandon Smith reports on the remarks by Mike Braun, Brad Chambers, Suzanne Crouch, Eric Doden, and Curtis Hill.
Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch made a splash earlier this year endorsing complete elimination of the state's individual income tax, and she pivots to that proposal often, even to a question about how to ensure public safety.
I'll start by axing the tax, putting thousands of dollars into the pockets of active and retired first responders.
Former Attorney General Curtis Hill leans heavily into ultra-conservative issues. He voices opposition to things like abortion, LGBTQ rights, and mask mandates, including in a question on education.
If we can teach children to think critically about the world around them, then they will not succumb to radical indoctrination.
U.S. Senator Mike Braun repeatedly talks about his auto parts distribution business. Former Commerce Secretary Brad Chambers says his number one job would be to grow the economy. And businessman Eric Doden emphasizes the need to revitalize small towns. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
And a new chimpanzee habitat is nearing completion at the Indianapolis Zoo. Jill Sheridan reports, the International Chimpanzee Complex is one of the largest in the U.S. and will house one of the largest communities for the great apes.
The zoo is expecting there to be about 20 chimpanzees when the animals are introduced to the public in May of 2024. The structures built to house the animals stretch across the zoo and include three indoor-outdoor spaces connected by a quarter mile of chimpanzee trail. Indianapolis Zoo President and CEO Dr. Rob Shoemaker says the elevated pathway is a key part of the exhibit.
What we want to do is give them the choice to make decisions about where they want to go and what they want to do and who they want to do it with.
This new home will build on work the Indy Zoo started with the International Orangutan Center, where the great apes are engaged in cognition work that includes problem solving and linguistics. The new complex will allow for close encounters with the apes at a variety of locations. Right now, there are six chimpanzees at the zoo. A few of them have been in Indianapolis for a few years now. I'm Jill Sheridan.
Teachers' starting salaries for a majority of Marion County school districts have reached at least $50,000 for this school year. From WFYI's Education Desk, Eric Weddle reports, school districts and their respective teachers' unions have finalized new salary contracts.
An analysis by WFYI in Chalkbeat, Indiana, found eight Marion County districts now offer a starting teacher's salary of at least $50,000. A threshold that leaders hope will keep them competitive in the local labor market. Wayne Township School's new starting rate is now the highest in the county at $52,500. Superintendent Jeff Butt says he wants first-time teachers to take notice of the district.
As we're trying to attract new teachers, that we want to make sure that we stay competitive on that starting salary.
Each school corporation also approved raises for the base pay of current teachers. The amount varies by district and multiple factors like performance and experience. I'm Eric Weddle.
To read more about Marion County teacher pay, go to WFYI.org/news. And for our final story today, Indianapolis is nearing its highest record of officer-involved shootings this year. Criminal justice reporter Katrina Pross spoke with Indianapolis police officer Damon Young about the department's use of force training.
Can you tell me about what you do at IMPD? What's your job?
So I am the lead instructor for our verbal de-escalation program, as well as the lead instructor for our physical tactics, the defensive tactics or combatives portion of our hands-on training.
So this year, we've had 18 officer-involved shootings, the highest yearly count since 2015. Can you explain to us when officers are allowed to use deadly force?
So officers are allowed to use deadly force when they have probable cause to believe that it's necessary to stop the commission of a forcible felony or to prevent SBI that's imminent to a third party or that officer. So if it's necessary to stop the resistive behavior, and that resistive behavior has risen to a very high level, then they're allowed to use deadly force.
Several people who were shot by IMPD officers this year appear to be experiencing mental health issues. How should officers approach those situations?
Well, it would be nice if our officers knew that when they first encountered that person, but none of us have a blinking sign over our head saying, hey, I have this mental condition. We don't have that luxury. However, our officers do get training in the academy through the mental health first aid and through our crisis intervention training, where there are symptoms that people who have mental illnesses may present to the officer, whether that's erratic speech, physical mannerisms or motions that may not appear to be typical, some way of indicating to the officer, this person's not functioning at the same level mentally as what we would consider a normally functioning human does. And so our officer should recognize that. And if that person's not demonstrating behavior right now that is a danger to a third party or a danger to themselves, then our officers have the training to make some distance, slow things down, use time to your advantage.
What response do you have to the recent spike in shootings? What have you heard from others in the department?
Well, I think it's really scary to see that we're having such an increase in this significantly high level of resistance towards our officers. I think our officers on the street are experiencing a world that's different, meaning 10 years ago, we didn't have the same environment that we do now. We didn't have the same thoughts going out across the social media platforms that are now. And so we have seen an increase in segments of society that are demonstrating levels of resistance that are very high. And our officers are having to still work and still protect the rest of our citizens who aren't doing those things. And when people are demonstrating these high levels of resistance, our officers have to make very quick decisions, life or death decisions, sometimes so fast that it's not really necessarily a conscious thought. It's subconsciously, this is what my training has taught me to do. The stimulus that I'm getting right now is this person is showing me a firearm and they are moving it in a way that they're going to point it at me to pull the trigger. So I need to pull my trigger. Well, that conscious thought doesn't happen. It's training. In training, a gun is raised up. We respond with deadly force. And it happens so fast sometimes that subconsciously the brain protects the officer instead of the officer having time to sit back and analyze, like the rest of us have the luxury of doing when we can sit in our chairs and watch the video play and pause it and go and get a hot cocoa and then come back and finish the video. Our officers don't get to do that. They have to react right now or they may not be going home.
To read more criminal justice coverage, go to WFYI.org/news. That's all for today's episode of WFYI News Now. Our podcast is produced by the following people who live in your community: Darian Benson, Drew Dodlin, Kendall Antron, who composed the music for this podcast, and me, Aubriana Heron. Our news director is Sarah Neal Estes. If you like today's episode, remember to subscribe and share, and follow WFYI on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube to check in on our newsroom throughout the day. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.